Rap Pack, where you at?
Going on, it's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Friday, September 1st. Final Friday before football, the last weekend of fantasy football drafts coming at us. And on today's show, we're going to get into some news from around the NFL, including, well, sort of the latest on Jonathan Taylor. Guess what? We're going to talk about Jonathan Taylor again. TJ Hockenson getting paid. Then Tyreek Hill, also a little update on him. Why you shouldn't freak out over Roto-World news blurbs. Cooper Kupp, I'm looking at you. And the latest on the Miami Dolphins backfield. A couple other items to get to as well on the show today. But a big one there. Appreciate everybody reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts. This is the last time I'm going to mention this, but our contest, which will end next week. You can win FTN Fantasy Plus by reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts, rate the show, and in your review, make sure you leave your Twitter handle or your Instagram handle, and you are entered in to win. Not too shabby. That's $100 value right there. If you want to just sign up over at FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK will get you 10% off. Of course, a shout out to our presenting sponsor, Circa. Of course, their Circa Millions contest is registering. Right now, you have 8 days remaining until this thing is done, and it starts. So September 9th, 2 p.m., don't wait around if you want to get in. 5 games against the spread each week of the NFL season. First place gets $1 million, 1 million with an M, two commas. There are prizes for the top 100. Of course, there's also quarterly prizes. Last place gets 100K, 50K to second to last place. And you can register up to 5 times. It's $1,000 each entry. Register in person at Circa or any of the sister properties in Vegas. You can also use a proxy service if you're out of state. All right, let's get into the news from around the NFL. Jonathan Taylor, we know from yesterday's podcast, if you listen to it, the mystery team was the Green Bay Packers. A little bit of a surprise there. A little bit of a surprise. But even more surprising, the Dolphins and Packers were willing to make Taylor among the highest paid running backs in the NFL, this per Jacina Anderson of CBS Sports. Now, currently, the highest paid running back is Christian McCaffrey at an average annual of $16 million per year. However, the 49ers actually view this more as a $12 million average annual because that is what they, you know, so I guess the Panthers had paid in bonus. And so really for the 49ers, it works out to 12. 12 is really at the market because you have Nick Chubb at 12.2, Derrick Henry at 12.5, Josh Jacobs now at 11.8. So 12 is the market, really. Yes, Alvin Kamara makes 15 per. However, this contract is very sneaky. So next year, he is due zero money in guaranteed salary. So guess what? He gone. He's not going to be on the team next year. But anyway, don't be surprised when that happens because his base salary next year is 10.2. His base salary in 2025 is 22.4. He's not going to be on the team next year. So just saying. So it really, it clouds the numbers big time for Kamara. So 12, roughly 12 is the market. So was a team willing to pay him in that range? I could see it. What kind of fully guaranteed money would he be looking at? That's the other thing. Is he looking, you know, would it have been something like 25, 26? You know, I got to figure it's got to be in that range because if you are tagged in back-to-back seasons right now, that would be 22 fully guaranteed. So next year, maybe it's closer to 23 if it's in back-to-back seasons. But regardless, could he still be traded? Yes. Is he going to be traded? I have no friggin' clue. No clue. What I do know, and are you ready for it? Are you ready for this? Guess who may be ready to play next week? Zach Moss. The Colts head coach Shane Steichen said at a presser yesterday that Moss is trending in the right direction. The team is now hopeful he will both be able to practice and play next week. So you're telling me there's a chance. Yikes, first and foremost. Secondly, if you went out and you picked up Deion Jackson or Evan Hull, this is a mess. I mean, there is a reason why I've been saying this is something I'm avoiding. If it looks like a steaming pile of dog turds, if it smells like a steaming pile of dog turds, guess what it probably is? So, if you have drafts this weekend, is there any merit to picking these guys? No. I definitely am not picking them in the middle rounds. I tend to avoid running backs in the later rounds because unless maybe it's a handcuff, I get that part. But generally speaking, the value is poor at running backs in the late rounds because you're probably just going to cut those dudes anyway. So would I keep an eye on them? Yeah. I mean, you never quite know. But I don't want anything to do with Moss, Deion Jackson, or Evan Hull. I feel like those are wasted bench spots. Jonathan Taylor, for some reason, a lot of FTN subscribers have been drafting him. I have no idea why. Way too risky. Because, yes, in theory, he could be back in week 5. Do we really think he's going to be back in week 5? Like, let's look at the red flags here. Red flag number 1, he asks to be traded. All right. Red flag number 2, he's not practicing in camp. Okay. Red flag number 3, the team grants his permission to seek a trade. Red flag number 4, he's not traded. All right, that's not the red flag. But he is placed on reserve PUP and misses the first 4 weeks of the season. 4? How many? 4 red flags? And we're still going to draft this guy? I don't know, man. Can't do it. Can't do it. I love being aggressive in drafts, but I do not like being risky in drafts. I really do not like being risky. And, you know, I know every league's going to have the Josh Gordon guy. You know the Josh Gordon guy, right? They're with the guy who every year, this is the year I've drafted Josh Gordon. You know, they'd saunter up to the board in round 9, slap that sticker up there with whatever team Josh Gordon was on at the time. You know the Josh Gordon guy. Guarantee the Josh Gordon guy drafts Jonathan Taylor. I don't want to be the Josh Gordon guy. I really don't. Don't want to be it. Can't do it. So, there you go on that front. Let's get over to TJ Hockenson. Well, he did get paid. $68.4 million contract extends him through 2027. He's got to be happy about that. This is a bit of a market reset. Because right now, atop the market, technically speaking, you have Darren Waller at $17 million average annual, but the Giants could get out of this contract next year. He has no guaranteed money next year. So that's more of a on-paper contract, whereas Hockenson gets just south of $30 fully guaranteed, which Mark Andrews and George Kittle, if you look at the guys, like right now, the highest fully guaranteed contract was Kyle Pitts, is still at the position, but that's a rookie deal. So I'm going to toss that aside. Of the guys who have gotten contracts after their rookie deal, Kittle and Andrews are just, well, Kittle's at 30. Andrews is just north of 30. So he's right there with them. But more importantly, total guarantees on this contract, 42.5. That's north of Kittle and well north of Andrews. Andrews is at 37.5, Kittle at 40. So this is a big time deal. $16.5 million average annual. Kittle is at $15 million average annual. Great move. Hockenson worked out for him. I don't disagree with this move whatsoever for the Vikings as well. And no worries. So that Hockenson dip that we were able to take advantage of here recently, I think that's going to go away in our drafts this weekend. However, if Hockenson's still there in the 5th round, giddy up. The two main guys who I've seen fall are Hockenson and Andrews, which surprisingly, Andrews in 12-teamers, I've seen him around in the 4th round. I have. Surprised, but I have. You're going to have to tackle me on my way up to the board before I slap his sticker up there. Same thing with Hockenson in the 5th, unless I already got Andrews in the 4th. No sense in drafting 2. By the way, if you draft Kelsey, if you draft Andrews, if you draft Hockenson, if you draft Kittle, if you draft Waller, if you draft Pitts, If you draft, who am I missing here? Goddard. If you draft any of the top seven guys, you do not need a second tight end. You don't. You got one of the guys. You don't need a second tight end. You'll pick up a tight end on his bye week. Trust me. It's okay. You can do this. I believe in you. Tyreek Hill will not be suspended for the Marina incident earlier this offseason. This according to Tom Pelissero over at NFL Network. I'm not surprised here. If you've seen the video, like here, I want to put it this way. I'm not condoning his actions. I'm not. It was stupid. You shouldn't touch somebody else in any situation. You shouldn't do that. But he tapped him. Like when the initial news came out, I thought he like knocked this guy out or something, and he barely touched him. No, it's stupid. It's really stupid on his part. Very, very boneheaded. But I can see why the NFL didn't suspend him. And they resolved their differences. I'm sure he caught him a check. That dude got tapped and got X amount of dollars, I'm sure. But he will not be suspended, so that's good news there. Okay, so yesterday everybody freaked the you-know-what out because here is the headline over at RotoWorld. You ready?
Rams head coach Sean McVay says Cooper Kupp suffered a setback.
Okay, right? Oh, my God, this guy is falling. Are you taking Cooper Kupp off your draft board? Where are you moving Van Jefferson up to on your board? That's not the whole headline. Rams head coach Sean McVay said Cooper Kupp suffered a setback in his day-to-day with a muscle strain. Day-to-day means he could play tomorrow. Week-to-week, okay, now we have a little bit of a problem. Month-to-month, we're screwed. Day-to-day is not a big deal. And if we would read the second sentence here, that was the headline. So the first sentence of the blurb paragraph, here it is. The Rams have 10 days until the start of the season, which should be enough time for Kupp to be ready for week one. Bravo to whoever wrote that at Roto World. And by the way, folks who know my career arc know that in, well, I guess it was 2013 until 2015, maybe it was like late 2012. I got to get the timeline. But I worked at Roto World. That was my first paying job in the industry. I love Roto World, always will, and deep respect for them. And I understand the power that they have being one of the news sources for a lot of fantasy players out there. But if you're somebody who reads Roto World and you only read half of the headline, much less even just reading the headline and then react, boy, you're going to be misinformed. You are going to be very misinformed. This was not something to freak out over. This was something to react to, but not overreact. And so what happens when the fantasy masses get fearful, oftentimes I will be greedy. I will. In this instance here, I had somebody hit me up in the FTN Discord community saying, I got Cooper Kupp at the 112 and then got Amon-Ra at 2-1. Great. Take the discount. If people are going to be fearful, take the discount. And, you know, there's this perception, too, that he was bad last year. Like, that is total crap revisionist history. He was great last year. Now, he wasn't as good as he was in 2021, but that was a historically good season. So, of course, he wasn't as good as he was in 2021. But when he got hurt, he was wide receiver 2 in fantasy. So, take the discount. Don't freak out. And make sure you do your due diligence. I know it's easy to just see some of these blurbs and then that's that, but do the due diligence. Mike McDaniel yesterday, I mentioned about how he wouldn't be surprised if Jeff Wilson returned this season and how alarming that was. Well, Wilson's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, walked that back pretty quickly and said he does expect him to be ready even before week 5, which is when he's eligible to return. That's a game against the Giants. So Wilson, you know, honestly, if I had him, I could cut him loose for now and then circle back to him when he's ready to come back. But Mike McDaniel did praise Raheem Mostert. I expect Mostert to get a good run in this first month of the season. We also heard that Devon Achane could return sooner rather than later from Mike McDaniel, so he could even be out there this upcoming week. If Achane is on waivers, am I dropping somebody to pick him up? Probably not. And I'll tell you why I'm not, because I drafted guys for a reason and likely left Achane out there for a reason as well. Now, if you did something silly like drafted a second tight end when you already have one of those top seven guys, or you drafted like Justin Fields and another quarterback, yeah, you probably could get away with it, but still you might be giving your league something there if you make that move. Directly related to this, it happened already. Like, I'll tell you this flat out. I'm not particularly that intelligent. I'm not that smart. My wife will tell you this. I'm not that smart. I'm a big dumb dumb a lot of the time. Big dumb animal. I can't see the future, but I know this happens every year. In the FTN Discord community, somebody asked me yesterday, and it might have been regarding A-Chain, it might have been regarding somebody else, but I don't care who the player was who he wanted to pick up. He said, would you drop Jerome Ford? I'm a Chubb manager. Would you drop Jerome Ford for player X? And I was like, really? You handcuffed, and we didn't even make it to week one, and you want to cut the handcuff. If you can't commit to the handcuff, don't handcuff. And this happens every year. People will draft the handcuff, feel great about it on draft day, and then immediately forget that they handcuffed and want to move on from the handcuff at the first possible moment they can. That is not handcuffing. That is drafting a dude who you're just going to cut anyway. So as I've said before, if you can't cuff or commit to the cuff, don't cuff. If you're going to handcuff, like if I have Nick Chubb and Jerome Ford's on my roster, guess what? I don't even see the name Jerome Ford. He is just intimately entwined with Nick Chubb. And as long as I have Chubb, I am keeping Jerome Ford. It already happened, man. It already happened. All right, that's going to do it for today. Review that podcast on Apple Podcasts. Rate it. Leave your Twitter handle in the review. You're entered in to win. FTNFantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. I wish you a very happy Labor Day weekend. I'm going to be back on Tuesday, and it's on week one, baby. On like Donkey Kong. Enjoy an IPA Friday if you happen to celebrate that holiday as well. And follow along with me on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe. Don't hold out, man. You got to follow. I know what you're doing. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram as well. Don't hold out, man. All right, I'll catch you on Tuesday for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.